You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, all my kindreds out there. What's going on? It is good and hot, as my mother would say. Is Africa hot outside? I don't know if it's, it's kind of like dangerous. So make sure everybody out there, make sure you are all, including myself, stay hydrated, stay up in your spirit, and try to roll over the lessons that we all are incurring as a planet, as a species, as a country. None of us are going to get out of it. So even if you have money out there, if you think you're protected because of your money, your houses, your cars, trust me when I tell you, take it or leave it. We're living in a time that none of that is going to matter. In a moment, it's so many other things going on that require our most immediate attention that we will have very little time to focus on who's wearing what dress soon. You'll see. It's slowly coming in now. But before I bring my guest on, let's talk about and give our sponsor a shout out. Kevin Pike. Yay. Core Banker, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, my friend, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, will answer any of your questions. He knows what's happening in the economy. He knows, like, kind of an intuitiveness about what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And so that's why I love him so much, and I give him so much of my respect. He has quite a bit of knowledge in that field of real estate. Now, back to what I was talking about before we bring our guest on. We all have to age and get old. I don't think anyone out there understands that when we, as we are born, we are already aging to go into the process of death and dying. These are realities, whether y'all want to believe it or not. You know, we're all attached to people, things, places. There will come a time that those things, places, including ourselves, won't be here. We'll be topsoil. And so we should start thinking about and reasonably how to live so that we do get to our portal to cross into the other side. We will, you know, we won't be scared. You won't have done so many bad things that you're scared to die because you think you'll go down and go to hell. And then, you know, you will have, I hope so anyway, built a life of kindness and goodness. So that when we do get there, and as my mother would say, our number gets called, we won't, you know, it'll be like sublime, you know, kind of like a good feeling that you've done your work and you're tired and you want to get a good rest. Let's just look like that. I'm just happy that I, you know, because of my mindset and how I believe and what I believe in, that we're able to talk about things like death and really get a good understanding about those kind of cycles. So that we don't live in fear of dying and doing all these things. Like, oh, I only got one life, so I can just do all this stuff. And trust me, time is an illusion. So today we have in our midst a wonderful human being. She's a director, producer, really fighting the fight for good causes. And I mean, you know, I'm not talking about TikTok where everybody's running around dancing and shaking their booty. You guys, you know, those are fun things, but they are very distracting and they don't do anything. They don't produce your bill. They don't pay bills. They don't, none of that. It's a way for us to get out the thing because we really probably don't want to face what's really going on in the world. And so that's a really kind of nice entertaining outlet, although not necessarily with regards to reality. But Susie Singer Carter, our guest today, is definitely in touch with reality. Her film prize, award-winning film, No Country for Old People, is to be admired. I mean, when she talks about the things that are actually going on in the healthcare system, in the long care, I would say, healthcare system, I mean, it, you can bring tears to your eyes because those are the things that we're facing. Some of us, a lot of us, come on now, be real. We're facing that out here right now. We've got parents, relatives, you know, people in the hospital. We don't know how they're going to get out, if they're going to get out. And so these are realities of life that shouldn't be, we shouldn't feel sad. We should be aware that they're going on and seek to change them. That's all it's going to take is a bunch of us seeking to get the law shifted and really moving through as much as we can and uniting with people like our guest today, Susie Singer Carter. No Country for Old.
Hello.
Hey. What's happening, sweetie pie? You always look so cute, like a little girl in the face. I love your little energy.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Just very happy to be at this juncture with our documentary it launched on last Friday on August 1st and on Amazon Prime. And it seems like a miracle in the making because we've been working on it for 3 years solid since my mom passed in July 2022 and I hit the ground. And here we are talking about it and seeing hopefully what shifts it makes in our consciousness, in our collective consciousness. That's what I'm hoping for.
And that's what you're going to get. I mean, the times are supporting you. So the times, a lot of things that people were involved in 20 years ago, now we're in a time period that we have to face certain things. We can't be like little high schoolers. Oh, you know, in America, all we do is party and hang out. Like, this is some serious stuff coming down. And a lot of the other countries are older than America. And they're used to a lot of things that we've yet to experience. We're like a baby, like teenagers. Oh, I know how to play with my wee-wee. And I know how to, you know, talk dirty. And I know how to, you know, smoke weed, you know, things like that. And those things are okay in a certain respect. But things like death and dying are real. Now, what about the new law that just got passed, you know, about Medicaid? There's a lot going to go on and it's going to trickle down, if not already, into those long care term facilities. What's going on? Enlighten us, please.
I'll try to enlighten you, but it seems to be shifting constantly. It's very liquid. And of course, that's indicative of this administration. So, you know, the big beautiful bill is threatening all kinds of changes in terms of Medicaid. And already Medicaid has been gamed, which is what my documentary is all about, is about the fact that, you know, CMS has not done a very good job of keeping oversight and enforcement on the regulations that are in place as it stands today. And they, you know, CMS already has a lot of great, just for your audience, in case they don't know, CMS is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. And so they are supposed to oversee that and make sure that the regulations are enforced and provide the proper amount of oversight. And it's not happening, obviously, because we wouldn't be in the state of crisis that we are in and that we talk about in my documentary. And now, you know, which this kind of boggles my mind, and I'm not an expert in Medicaid and Medicare and certainly can't even deign to believe that I understand what the current administration is trying to do with our Medicaid that we all pay into. It is our money. It is taken out of your paycheck. Every paycheck goes to that. That's supposed to be for you when you need it. At any time. It's not Medicare. It's not an elder thing. This is like if you can't afford health insurance and you are having financial issues, you will be cared for through your Medicaid. And that is there for everybody, you know, once you're an adult. So right now, as far as I understand, they want to up the amount of required hours a week to work before you can, in order to be eligible for your Medicaid. So it doesn't matter if you work a 40-hour week. They're now wanting you to work anyone between 17 and I think it's 64 of years of age, you have to clock in 80 hours of work a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Well, what about people that are self-employed?
Oh, no, a month. I'm sorry. I made that wrong.
Like, okay, it's now, a month. Like, what?
Okay. That's a little better. Yeah, that's a little better. Okay. No, I was like, what? About people? I said that wrong.
It's okay. What about people that, as long as we get it correct and we get the right information, what about people that are self-employed? I mean, I'm noticing, and I'm just saying this from living and from watching and from paying attention to life. Not just, oh, hi, I'm young and I'm cute and I'm paying you a lot more. I will say young people are having to pay attention to lives. They can't afford to be all carefree as much because too much stuff going on. But I'm noticing that slowly they're bringing innocent children into films that have to do with porn and dying and all of that. They're kids. They don't need to know nothing about all of that. I mean, what? Then also they're slowly going into the homes of people that are self-employed now. They want some of that money. Well, what? You're making money and we can't get none of it. What's wrong with you? Let's go in there and get that. So every little thing that was once offered to us as a part of being democratic or having freedom is now being taxed with either monies or it's not free. Even right. Water and air is not free anymore. And that's a damn shame. We should really, and I'm saying this from a spiritual place, all of you out there listening to you that have demonic forces and stuff in your mind, you should really be careful. Because even though we don't know who you are, life knows who you are. And spirit knows who you are, and the law of cause and effect is firmly in place. So when something happens, you go running around looking stupid because something happened to your home or whatever. I want to see you sit up and say, what have you done to incur the kind of karma that it would come for you? And you don't understand cause and effect. So that's what I have to say. So Susie, in regards to what I just said, what do you think that are some of the changes that could help the system be more accommodating to all of the things that are happening on a planetary level?
Well, gosh, that's a big question. I mean, I've been buried in the elder care and in the long-term care industry for the past 3 years. And I'm looking at that because it really is emblematic of everything you're saying, because we've become a very individualistic society. We've lost community and that's why we're in the state we're in. And I think that trickles into every area that you're talking about, right? I mean, the fact that we are able to warehouse our most vulnerable, our most, you know, our elderly, our loved ones, and we do it under, it framed like it's the best thing for them. It's okay because they're not really valuable. And all these other, you know, caveats that we've decided, we somehow have accepted and adopted that it's okay, but that's not like it. That's not how it always was. Right. I mean, that's, you only have to look, I don't want to get too political because I know I don't want to.
Truth without being accusatory. I mean, speak your truth without saying it's not, you're just telling people what your opinion is because you're actually out there doing something versus sitting right. back looking at TV.
Right. And it really is a nonpartisan issue. You know, I mean, it's reflected in every area of our life, even in our administration. You know, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. But there's so many things about the slippery slope that we're on. You know, just hearing our president say bullshit on TV is just bizarre to me. When you're talking about children on, you know, that are young. That are participating in different things that they normally wouldn't be. So we've sort of lost a decorum and a respect and sort of the thing that society is built on, you know, common courtesy, reciprocal respect, empathy, compassion, honesty, and, you know, and integrity and dignity. And I think it's reflected. It's such a mirror in our elder care industry because it's been ignored. And so you're able to see the effects of this shift that we've had, a very slow and steady shift to where we are today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people always say to me, well, Susie, you know, can't we just look at all the other countries who are doing it better? And they're, you know, they revere their elders. And guess what? That's changing. That's why I call it No Country for Old People. It's not just our country. It is permeating every culture. Mm-hmm. People look at Western society as a role model. We've always been a role model. And, you know, there's Asian cultures now that are getting, you know, affected by.
And they used to not be like that. Yeah, at all.
And It is really affecting how their elders are being taken care of, where it didn't used to be like that. It's everywhere. I belong to a coalition called Open the Doors they're based in Australia, but we have members from all over the globe. Mm-hmm. And it is not good anywhere. And, you know, like Norway is one of the few places that is doing a good job, but nobody really wants to emulate that right now. I don't mean nobody. I'm saying the powers, when you speak truth to power, they're looking at dollar signs, you know, so they'd rather, getting back to Medicaid, they'd rather spend $200 billion to rework Medicaid to make sure that there's no fraud going on. Well, $200 billion, how many lives can that save? They should be doing their job. They don't need $200 billion to revamp their organization. Their organization is already built. Do your job. So why aren't they doing their job? Because there's a huge lobby that's out there. We're one of the few countries that have lobbies, by the way.
I didn't know that we were one of the few. A lot of lobbying going on to you. Well, we have, something has to happen. I mean, going on what you were saying about, you know, the different monies that seem to be pulled in, put places, detracted or whatever. Who's watching the people that are making all of these decisions?
There's no checks and balances.
All of that? I mean, every day I get up like, who are all these people doing all these things? Like, you just wake up one day, everybody's 5G. You know, wake up one day. Oh my God, everybody's for it. Who is making? That's who my spiritual energy, I'm telling you now out there, I'm putting the energy on you. I'm sending it towards you because it's wrong, it's incorrect, and you yourself are human. How are you going to do things against your own? It's like doing something to yourself. Like, you're never going to get old. Nothing's ever going to happen to you. You live a perfect bubble world, and that's just not true. Look around you. I'm sure Bruce Willis, people that have died recently, celebrities, since that's who Hollywood seems to recognize, are dying. They didn't wake up one day going, oh yeah, when I get 60 something, I'm going to get a terrible illness, and Hollywood's not going to give a rat's to duty about me either. They don't care about you either. It's only what we are good for and what you're worth for. It's like a machine. Oh, let's get Osiris. Let's get Susie. Stamp them. Oh, wow. They're young and vigorous right now. We can use them. We can play with them, push them around. But wait a minute. They're kind of slowing down a little bit because they've gotten wiser. This, that, and the other. So let's just kind of push them over to the side because, you know, the society doesn't look at them as big. The truth is that as you mature, your mind, if you're doing work while you're young and not just off spetting around, wasting your time thinking you're never going to get to 60 or 70, it goes by quick. Rather than doing that, when you do get to those places, you're prepared. You're prepared mentally, physically, and spiritually for the whys, for the things that won't even come to you until you get 40. They just don't happen until you get 40. They just don't happen until you get 60. That's just the way life is. You know, it's not TikTok.
Right. And you know, Ashton Applewhite, who's a real advocate and voice for ageism, and she has wrote a book called This Old Rocking Chair, or This Chair Rocks. I'm sorry, This Chair Rocks. And she is phenomenal. And she says that, you know, when you are an ageist, you're only creating a stigma against your future self.
That's right.
A bias against your future self. So isn't that counterproductive? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's like
in my mind.
It's ignorant and a lack of intelligence for people to think like that, because it is. It's like telling yourself, if you continue to live, I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to get old. I'm never going to have any problems. That's just not. Well, good luck. And my mother would say, well, if you like it, I love it.
Uh-huh. My mom and I used to joke around like, oh, dying, that's for other folks. We don't do that. We're not going to be doing that. You and me, that's not for us. Bye-bye. See you later. You know, we just joke around. You know, we all want to do la la la. I wanted to do la la la. I get it. You know, we all, and it's not something you want to think about every moment of the day. It's not, but you have to at some point realize that other people, you know, that they are just 5 minutes ahead of you. That's all. Blinking, you're 90. And, you know, why do we have to have a horrible exit? Why? There's no reason for it. And we are such an ageist and ableist society now. We do not value people who are disabled. We do not value people who are older. You know, I have, like you, I think you mentioned, I have Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin and Lisa Gibbons.
Yes.
And
Danny Strong.
Danny Strong. Some wonderful people, voices in our community, from Hollywood community. And, you know, like Jane said in her quote, you know, for sure I'm an older person, but I don't view old as slowing down. I view old as more education, more experience, more life. And she said, but I can't do that if I'm not supported. And, you know, and like, so it's like, this is, it's such a sad reflection of where we're at, this sort of, you know, I think about what I liken it to all the selfies. You know, I didn't grow up with selfies as a little girl. If we took a picture of ourselves like this, people would go, oh my God, like she is like so conceited. Like, who is she? You know, like smiling at the camera, looking at yourself constantly. I feel like we're so looking in and not looking out. But when you look out and you have community and you work within a community, that is purpose. That is connection. And that is what keeps you alive and healthy and vibrant and involved with life. It, you know, the more introverted you get, the more isolate yourself. And I'm sorry, but it's a nice substitute if you can't see people on a regular basis, social media, but to use that as your only interaction with people is you're not giving yourself the full experience of life.
Of living. You're right about that. I recently met someone who had a very bright spirit. I often attract people and you know, if you're empathic or in any kind of have any kind of bright energy or spirit about you, you attract flies, bees, you know, everything else that goes to the light.
Oh, right? Yes. Oh,
and
yes.
So what happened is that I triggered something in this person. The person had known me all of maybe 8 hours, a 3 hour, 3 day period. She knew me for like 8 hours. By the time the 3 days were gone, I was a this, I was a that, I was old, I was dumb, blah, 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 blah. It was like so weird. And then I thought about it. Wow, I'm not old to me. And like one lady said, I'm too young to be old, but I'm too old to be young. So you're like in the middle, you know, I don't have any major health problems. I know people 30, 40 years old can't get up out of the bed every day, can't even walk and things like that. So we need to really lose what constitutes aging and what happens as we age. And that goes up to my question. Like, I think that as we understand more about technology and more about how technology can help us devise better plans to live a better kind of lifestyle or whatever, that will help to get us as we get to the aging point, that, you know, our bodies aren't so in decline that we can't even function and we're just leaving our whole, just take care of me. I don't want to think, I want to do, you know, that's unfortunate to me, where you have to depend on other people's good, solid mind to help support you as we age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. So I was like, I mean, I sort of danced around that yesterday thinking like, there's some people like my mom who, you know, got hit with a disease that there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to progress no matter how hard you do. And that's Alzheimer's. Right now, it is what it is. And you can't fight it. And you will have to be dependent at some point. And, you know, and then there's other people who have certain kinds of disabilities that are capable of changing and capable of, you know, pushing it away, pushing it off, who might be vulnerable, but are continuing to be self-destructive. And then they depend on, you know, the people later, the kindness of others to take care of them because they've given up. And that's also, to me, that's an issue. It's like, we have the responsibility to take care of ourselves when we can, because it, you know, you have to be, I feel like we're a very immature society, the way it's
we
like,
are.
I feel like it's like, we're teenagers. Where are the grownups in the room to say, okay, come on, knock it off.
There are.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
I feel like. Go ahead. That's what I feel like when I watch. I enjoy TikTok. You guys, I am old and young. You know, I'm all colors. I've been influenced by so many different experiences and a wide range of experience. I mean, when I decided to step out of my community, I mean, I left. It was gone. So I've seen a lot of different things that most people culturally might not have experienced because they stay close to home. They do things that are safe. I've never done safe. I've always done things just out of my own curiosity. And yes. One of the things I notice is that in the world of non-traditional medicines and modalities, they are exploring a lot more things because we have to. We can't just say, you know, oh, well, this worked 400 years ago. And, you know, I mean, I cannot believe that people think that life is supposed to be the same now that it was even 20 years ago. Why would you think that? Unless we're stagnated and haven't grown at all. That's what you're saying. We're stagnant. We don't even grow. We're still doing the same thing we did 200, still trying to pull stuff that was maybe popular 30 or 40 years ago, not even popular, we could have gotten away with it. We have totally shifted timelines. And we have people operating as if they're stuck somewhere back in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, without understanding that some of those things that applied then, they don't work now. It's a whole different society. People's mindsets are completely different. We're being exposed to things that those people then were not exposed to and certainly were not prepared to deal with. So aging is one of those things where, like, you know, I'm over 60, but if I could tell you, I'm fine. I got a badass body. I still have a purse. I still have a lot of energy and stuff like that. There are a lot of people like me. Instead of trying to make people old, I know people that are 20 that are old. That's how they think. Like old. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I can't, you know, I don't know how to do this, Miss Osiris. And I'm like, what? You're only 20 years old and you killed yourself, buried yourself in the grave. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think about?
I never bought into that.
I never bought into it either.
No, I feel like, listen, we are mortal and there are certain things that we cannot stave off, right? And there just is. It is what it is. That's the way we're programmed biologically. However, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I had friends when I was in my 20s and 30s that would go, well, we're the older generation. Well, you know, that's for them. That's for the kids. It's like, really? Because I'm still shopping at Forever 21, so excuse me.
Okay,
you know, I'm still dancing hip hop like anybody's, right? Okay, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna dance till the feet don't move, and that's the way it goes. So I'm only old until I decide I'm old. I'm only can't until I decide I can't.
That's right.
And I'll know when I can't. I'm not. You know, that's our bodies give out after a while. But until then, I'm not gonna give up. And I don't look at people when I see older people in nursing homes, because I spent a lot of time there with my mom. I see who they were. I can see them as a child. I can see them as their cool, sexy self in their 30s. And, you know, I see them. I see who they are. Like they have a whole spectrum, a whole thing. And we all do. And when to me, ageism is so immature. I mean, it's so fluid. It shifts all over the place. Like as a writer or as an actress in Hollywood. So it's like, you know, oh, you're too old to write. I mean, there's a diversity group in the WGA, you know, for aging writers, oh, you know, 40 and over. It's like, excuse me. What? I mean, 40, like 40 is like, 40. You're just maturing. You're just becoming adult.
If that 40 is only 10 years from being 30 years old, that's how young 40 years old is. I'm serious, 40. People out there. 40 is only 10 years from being 30, and it took you 10 just to be 30. So when they say 10 or 15 years of people to grow into their age, I'm telling you from somebody that's ages, you know, it takes about 10, 15 years for somebody to actually develop into the age they say they are. You know,
honestly, I am always better than I was yesterday. Always smarter than I was yesterday. I'm always stronger than I was yesterday, and so on and so on. And I feel like I have more to give every day that I live. So, I could not do this documentary when I was 20. I could not do this documentary when I was 30. No way. And so I think we got to try to shift it, this whole perspective and, you know, this collective conscious and conscience that we need to regain about the whole thread of life, the whole trajectory of life. And, you know, because it really is immature. It sounds like you said, a teenager. It's like, oh my God, they're like so old.
I can't. Oh, I just discovered I've got a wee-wee and I've got breasts and I've got everything. I've just discovered that. And I'm just going to put all my attention. It's to me, it's like little kids. And I'm saying this honestly, I've always been kind of rebellious. So even as a mature adult, I am still rebellious to a certain degree. Because there are certain things that have to change. And if they don't change, life will change them for us. Like my mother said, right. You don't have to change. Just keep living. Life will change it for you.
You know, yes, it will. But if you, but if you
don't worry about it.
If you, and I used to if think, you've had, no, it's true. I mean, if you've had children, and I've gone through two daughters that you know, went through their teenage, like, you don't know anything. Oh, my God. Ugh. You know, and then you get, they go, you know, they suddenly cross over that bridge and they're like, mom is like the coolest. Mom is a hero. Mom has got the best clothes. Mom. And suddenly you're like, wait, did I give you that? You remember? No, suddenly it's theirs. They've adopted it. Yeah. Right. So the thing is that, but what's happened, you know, and I'm making a broad sort of, you know, parallel to society to say that, you know, it feels like we're stuck in that, you know, teenage kind of mentality of like, they're old, they're worthless. We're only going to focus on, you know, the 18 to 40 year old market. That's it. Done. Everyone else is meaningless. Which is so absurd because we are living older, longer. And so we get more of a ramp. We get more of a runway up. And so we don't have to rush. We don't have to rush into marriage. We don't have to rush into children. We don't have to rush into retirement.
That's right.
So how can you equate, going back to what you said in the beginning, that things haven't changed? They have. So you cannot put the same you can't name things, you can't identify things as you did 20 years. You can't label them that way. Yeah. So, and that's, and so if getting back to, No Country for Old People, this is one of the crux of what we're fighting with is the collective perspective of people that are older and people that are ill.
Well,
and
is
so
it?
We need to. Should...
Go ahead. Before we continue, I'd like to do a shout out to our sponsor once again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, for all of your real estate and probate needs. He is a real estate probate specialist for Coldwell Banker. If you want to reach him, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike. probate and real estate specialist for Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Now back to your documentary, No Country for Old People. What I love about it, the title is kicking butt. I love the title because it really is a get to the point kind of title. I think also that because you do have this kind of documentary, that it is, the timing is perfect to align itself with these kind of things that we now are ready to hear. We're ready to hear because I'm sure over there where there's wars and people actually dying, young, old, whatever, I'm sure people could care less about their age. When there is a natural disaster like a tsunami, don't nobody care about your sex and your color all of a sudden, because everybody's in danger. Tell me they're not. This is why
it's equal opportunity.
Yeah, it's equal opportunity to be human, because all of a sudden, all the little things that you didn't like about your neighbor, and they black or they're white or they're a girl or they're tall or whatever stupidity that we find in judging other people that most of the time we don't even know loses when there are things that happen that are out of control. And to me, in my opinion, that is why they happen. To show
it's the great equalizer. It is the great, you know, and a disaster is the great equalizer. And getting old is an equal opportunity. So everybody, if you're so lucky, you're going to go there. So it doesn't make any sense not to at least wrap your head around it and at least have respect and understanding and appreciation of it. And we should be going, you know, it's like a great healthy perspective would be to go, wow, I hung out with this 90-year-old lady yesterday and she was amazing. I learned this from her and I learned that from her and we had a kick-ass time and boy, she is fierce. You know, we somehow make a little bit of excuses for our iconic celebrities like Jane Fonda, like Lily Tomlin, like people like that.
I love them. Yeah,
I love them too. How could you not?
Even when they were young, they were breaking rule. They were breaking the rules. What I love about them is that they're willing to stand proud in who they are at this stage in their lives without trying to, you know, like my mother used to say, well, you know, you can cut your face up and do this all you want to, but inside your kidneys are still getting old, your heart's still getting, you know, unless you're going to repair every single thing inside of your body that's going to match the face you just carved up for money that's going to do it again. It doesn't make sense when we could take better care of ourselves and still get the same effect. And I think that's part of what we're going to learn about the beauty of aging, because as we continue, like looking at watching these movies and documentaries like No Country for Old People, as we continue, we're finding better ways to incorporate aging within a regular framework of life. We're starting to incorporate aging like, you know, oh, wow, because as I age and as you age, Susie, guess what? Everybody else out there is aging, too. So y'all getting old, too. What are you saying? Last year, you weren't 20. Now you're 40 or whatever. So it says that everybody is moving towards that momentum, no matter what stage of age we are all in. And death doesn't find everybody at old age. Old age just says that you live long enough to understand you might be tired right about now, you know, and ready because you've done so many wonderful things to offer the planet that you can go and say, look, I've made a contribution, rather than somebody that all they do is wreak havoc and do ill will towards people. And they're scared to die because they're scared they're going to go to hell. That's the truth. Rather than living the kind of life that should death find you earlier in some precarious situation, you won't feel like, oh my gosh, I've done all these bad things. Now I'm scared to die, you know, because I did, you know, that kind of thing. You'll just be like, okay, it's my time. I did good. I guess that's the time I set in motion, you know. But in the documentary, No Country for Old People, how much time did you spend, or the people that work with you spend, on researching the kind of medicines and things and care that are given to these people in these facilities? Are they helping? Are they helping, hurting? Have you found them to be up to par? Is it something that, I mean, are they doing that kind of dirty stuff that they're trying to get rid of people for numbers and money and stuff? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how dirty they are. They probably are dirty.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, it's yucky. It's yucky. It's major yuck. We've had a very corrupt system for over 50 years. It's been the system has been gamed, and it's getting that, you know, the private equity has taken over in exponentially more and more and more. Yeah. And now we've got, like, you know, 75%, over 75% of long-term care facilities are owned by private equity and real estate investors. And so there is, and like I said, it's not new. That's why our fiscal sponsor, National Consumer Voice for Long-Term Quality Care, has been around since 1974, because they've been advocating for the same issues now for 50 years. And so, but these corporate entities have, they are protected. There's no transparency through the corporate structure that we have in place. There's a veil that is very difficult to penetrate. They operate very much like a criminal enterprise. They have related parties. So they might own a franchise, or even just one or two or three or four, whatever it is, of facilities. And they will own the real estate company. They'll own the management company. They'll own the vendors, like the nursing agency or the pharmaceutical company, the pharmacy, and so on and so on and so on. And then they jack up the prices of each of those related parties. Yes. And then they extract that. They tunnel the money that goes into individual facilities, and they make exorbitant amount of money that's not realistic. It's not based
off the books. It's off the books, you guys. It's off the books. Yeah. And I've worked for corporate America. I'm going to tell you, everything is off the books. It depends on who the accountants are, how they do their job, what they're instructed to do in order to keep the books from, you know, looking a certain way. I'm telling you what I know to be true, because I've been there and I've been behind the scenes and I've been in corporations, and I probably was supposed to not make it, so I couldn't tell you guys these truths, but I did. They couldn't stop it, okay? Just like they can't stop Susie. A question I have for you. Do you feel that with the current administration, but current mindset of the times, that we could very well go back into Dr. Kildare and those doctors that will come into the home and take care of people versus going into hospitals now, unless you're absolutely cannot help go in the hospital for care, that a lot of those things will be starting to be placed back on individual people for self-care versus the system?
I don't think so right now, because it's the structure is so built to be.
They want to make money.
Yeah, and the days of having an individual physician's practice are it's old. It's over. There's nobody's going to make a this just doesn't happen anymore.
What about the apps? What about all the apps they're creating now to put you in touch with Dr. So-and-so right on your phone?
Yeah, but they're still owned, though. So like One Medical, I belong to One Medical. They're like a boutique's physician service. You can go in, you can do it through your app and all that stuff. They just been bought out by Amazon.
Oh my God. Amazon, what are they doing in the medical field?
What field are they not doing in? This is what's going on.
And all of them have become their own little TV stations and their own little pharmaceutical stops, and you get your all stop in one. And
So here's the thing, there are very, very few, if any, private practice anymore. And so everyone has to play by the rules of the corporate. And so when you go, getting back to long-term care, when you come and visit, or you're caregiving for someone in a long-term care facility, and you're seeing that they're chronically understaffed and nobody's happy working there, and your loved one is suffering and they're not getting the care that they need, you are dealing with not those individuals that are working there, but the corporate who are laying down the edict. And they're just saying, the biggest cost in any company is staff. So that is what they cut. And when you cut staff, if a CNA, if a certified nursing assistant, is given 30 residents to care for in an 8-hour shift, do the math. How are they going to be able to handle that? They're not. Impossible. But that's what's happening. So there are people getting short shrift all over the place, including the care provider, because they are experiencing moral injury because they can't do the job that they are, want to do, which is all the things. Relate to the human being. This is not a widget. This is a human being. You can't go in there and wash somebody and turn somebody and bathe somebody and da-da-da. I mean, it's like, what are we doing? These are people. You are, like my partner Rick says, you are stripped of your dignity the moment you walk into one of those places.
That's right. You're nothing but a paper, That's unfortunate.
Yeah, you're a line item.
Yeah. We're going to run out of time, so I want you to tell us, people, where we can find out more about the documentary film, your beautiful work, what you're involved in, No Country for Old People. We can find out more about you and the film. It's really being pumped now. You said August 1st was really big. They put it out on Amazon, right, and everything like that.
Yes. So we are. I just want to say we were given we received the Anthem Award, the Gold Anthem Award for Impact.
Oh, yes.
So very proud of that. You can find, and also want you all to know, this is the last, I must say this, is that the way to change this is not from the top down, it's from the bottom up, like we've done any other thing, like the LGBTQ, like the Black Lives Matter, like Me Too movement. It has to be a movement. We have power as constituents. That's our currency. That's how we counter the lobby. We shame our politicians. We tell them that we know what's going on and we need it to stop. But we have to do it as a collective, as a national collective. And we've launched a movement called ROAR, which is Respect, Oversight, Advocacy, and Reform for Long-Term Care. Go to the website, nocountryforoldpeople.com. Find the page which says the ROAR movement. Sign up to become a ROARer and roar for those that do not have a voice and cannot roar for themselves. And this is how we're going to make change. That's tried and true. How did we get the vote, girls?
That's right. How do we ever get out of the women getting the vote, period, getting to do anything?
That's what I'm saying. It's all about using our voice as a collective, and we must do it. We must do it now until it gets so far where we've got, with this Medicaid thing kicks in and people have no place to go in our gray tsunami that is coming, then we're going to find very vulnerable people on the street.
Yeah.
That won't have the help they need. It's not humane. That's not true. The way we should be as human beings on this planet. This is all we have. So let's do it. Let's hold hands. And that's
it. Fight the good cause. I will say that what I believe in, what I want to happen, is that for each individual person out there to become responsible for your own health. So that when you go to the doctors in the hospital, you will need them because you've exercised everything you could possibly use for your own stuff. And you take care of yourself. If we take better care of ourselves, that comes from being educated about health, knowing about things like this that our beautiful guest, Susie Singer Carter, is involved in, knowing things that people that are aging, people that have age, people that are aging, knowing and being aware of the new laws, everything that we can do to help change happen. And that starts with self, taking better care of ourselves. Finding out more about the things that are being offered. Right now, I swear, everything in life is being recalled. I swear, you're scared to eat food. Everything's being recalled. This being recalled. That's being recalled. So let's find out why and find out how we can be better at finding out information about how to have better health.
And TikTok is not yet. And TikTok is not the only. That's another thing is that people get their information from TikTok, but TikTok is feeding you algorithms that they think you want. So you are not getting the full picture. Mm-hmm.
We can go on your site and find out. I'm sure that you have some information on there about the cost and all the things that are going on. So as we prepare And as we're getting to those doors where by the time, oh, yeah, you want to know the real reality? By the time you get old, somebody else that you and your family, they may not even be alive to help you. Did you know that? My mother used to say, just because people are older than you doesn't mean they're going to go first. You could go first. Yeah. And there's nobody to take care of you. Or by the time you get old, no one is around you to help because all your friends have gone. Your family's gone. There are a lot of people that are stuck in those situations. So,
so sad.
Really need
yeah.
to go watch this film. Watch this documentary so that you can be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually prepared to deal with life as life deals with us. So Susie Singer Carter, it's been wonderful having you again as a guest. Don't forget, people, No Country for Old People, Susie Singer Carter. Is it nocountryforoldpeople.com, correct? .org. Right. .org or .com?
.com.
.com. And then that means they got some support people. And then the other things, yeah, you don't have to totally depend on, you know, the administration and all that if you're .org, because that means you've got to get funding and all that. So you've got people helping. That's great to hear.
No, we don't have, we need more people. We don't really.
You got a lot, you need a lot more people, but you're able to at least have the core. Like you said, you've been on the ground doing it for a while.
Right, so, right. Yeah. We're starting, the ROAR is a 501c3. Yeah. So that is definitely an org. Yeah. And then, yeah, that's our org. The other one, we couldn't do an org, even though it's all nonprofit, because we, in order to get it distributed. Yeah. So we, you know, we have distribution. And by the way, if you watch it, please, if it speaks to you and you think it's a good project and you want to share it, please share it. And also review and rate us on Amazon, because that will give Amazon the bump that we are important, and they will push us out. And I, you know, and it's not a moneymaker. Documentaries are not moneymakers. They're
changers. Never, but they will be in the future. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, let's not forget to thank our wonderful station, LA Talk Radio, Sam Hassan. Hey, Sam, thank you for letting me shine every week. Also, you out there, thank our guest again, Susie Singer Carter, for coming on and talking to us about her documentary, which dropped on August 1st, now appearing on Amazon and anywhere else you can find it. Look for it. I think it's on Vimeo, too. Also, and don't you have a YouTube channel, Susie?
We do, but you'll just get bits, little clips and things like that. Right now it's on, Hoopla, which is through the, library system, and then Amazon Prime. And then I believe it, there's a bunch of different ones that you probably have the list that start.
You'll find it. Look for No Country for Old People and look for Susie's name. It'll come up. It just, everything comes up online once you put in a few keywords. Also, don't forget about me, Osiris _ Munir _ the painter on IG. I'm doing the doggone thing. Don't matter what age I am. You can't stop me. So don't forget about believe and know that I love you. I love you for who you are and who you continue to be, no matter what. And I know things get tough out there sometimes, but you still smile and make yourself look pretty to yourself and say, I love you, if nobody else is saying it. And I like you for what you do, what you believe in, all the obstacles, adversities that you overcome every day. Every 24 hours, somebody out there is fighting to overcome something that needs to be changed. Someone like Susie Singer Carter, somebody like myself, who I feel like bringing people onto the show is helping humanity get aware, become aware in different things that we talk about. And so I guess I'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to love yourselves. Stay good to yourselves. Be kind to others. If you're kind to yourself, you'll naturally be kind to others. And don't forget to smile. It works wonders. And we love you. Thank you, Susie, so much. And I'll push that. We're going to push that for you. Don't worry. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
See you soon.
Bye. Thank you for coming on. Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.